Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Tomorrow night, as you know, I'm going to be at Cyborg's Mid Rivers Mall from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. On behalf of Brown Sugar Bourbon. And today we have my friend Jim Secor, I've known for quite a long time, from Brown Sugar. We have Connor Cyborg, obviously from Cyborg's, and we have Tracy, who I believe is some sort of insurance policy. I think she travels with Connor, and then she's like, hey, shut up, I'll take over. So,
no.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice
Thank
to meet you.
Yeah.
So let's start with Brown Sugar. And Jim, we've known each other quite a while, and I've been very honest with you. Like, my son's big into bourbon, and I've tried to be into bourbon, but a lot of the bourbons I just have to choke down. And so I looked for something with a little mellower taste, and when you brought this one along, this was it. This was the Goldilocks for me.
Dave, first of all, thank you for saying that, and thanks for having us. This is a great introductory product for somebody that's looking into get into bourbons and in the whiskey category. Just the flavor content of itself is just refreshing. I do a lot of tastings on this across a number of states, and when people come up, they're like, I'm not a bourbon fan, I'm not a whiskey fan, but when they try BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon, they're like, wow, that's not what I expected.
And also, for the bourbon snobs, who say, I don't drink anything with any flavoring, they should try this.
And it's amazing, some of those people that actually come up, because we have a second product called BSB 103, and that's 103 proof bourbon. And they're like, wow, this is really good. And that's got a little bit of brown sugar and a little bit of cinnamon spice to it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And you guys have won a bunch of awards.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. Kind of what got us on the map is in 2018 and 2019, Whiskey Magazine, they do the World Whiskey Awards every year. And they gave us 2 years in a row best flavored whiskey.
Very nice. And Connor, how many Cyborgs are there now?
We're up to 7 Cyborgs, Helm Fitzgerald's, and then we also have the Twisted Tree Steakhouse.
Wow. And see, to me, Cyborgs, when my band started 18 years ago, was playing at Cyborgs every weekend in Dorset. Like, that'll always just be like my memories and
that's awesome.
Going to one downtown and getting the wings and stuff like that. So for the 10 people out there who don't know Cyborgs, introduce the restaurant and the concept and all that kind of stuff.
So we're family owned. It's actually our 40th anniversary next year.
Congratulations.
So we're looking forward to that right now. Started in 1980. My dad, Kirk, his brothers, Rick, Brett, and Dennis all started it. Which all started from my grandparents, Sally and Rich. They had a little catering business outside of St. Simon's Parish.
I love that.
So then they kind of took that concept, turned to the restaurants.
Yeah.
And 40 years later, just turned into a little bit of a franchise.
That's so great. I just love that.
That's amazing.
Everyone loves the wings. What else are you guys really known for?
A lot of it, most of it does revolve around our Cyborg sauce. So we have a couple like in-house appetizers that we do. So our Saigoons, it's kind of like a crab rangoon, but with chicken and Cyborg sauce, ranch, cream cheese.
That's the kind of thing someone invented when they were wasted. That's a 3 a.m. where you're like, you know what? I'm going to put chicken in this. And you're like, dude, you're wasted. Don't put chicken in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and those ones are great. And then most of our stuff's all we try and do is fresh as possible. So not a lot of frozen things in-house. So all of our chicken's hand-breaded, wings are fresh, fried fresh. All of our burgers are hand-pattied in-house. So we just kind of keep it a little bit fresher, different than your just normal standard bar food.
Yeah. And as I understand it, you guys are killing it out there already, Mid Rivers?
Yeah, it's been doing really well. I actually opened that store, so I was a GM there for about 6 months, and then I kind of a sideways transition out of there into more of an admin role. But yeah, so that one's doing extremely well. We have one of the biggest projectors out there, 190-inch screen, so sports have been doing really well for us. A really nice patio, which unfortunately it's getting colder now, so we do games and stuff all
and
out there.
And where is it exactly for people who know the Mid Rivers area, but...
So it's at Mid Rivers Mall in 70. It's the old Joe's Crab Shack that used to be out there, kind of by behind Buffalo Wild Wings. There's a Krillgy building and some other things.
Gotcha, gotcha. So for any of you guys, what tomorrow night people come out to see me 6 to 8 p.m., what's going to be happening?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for being there. That's going to be awesome. We're going to feature 3 separate cocktails. One's going to be a pineapple upside down cake cocktail, which we've been doing during the summertime and when the weather's hot, and it is just delicious. I actually made that here if you guys want to try it.
I do.
We're going to do a brown sugar Manhattan, which is great. So you, normally on a Manhattan, you use a sweet vermouth, but we don't need the sweet vermouth, so we'll use a dry vermouth tomorrow night with that and some bitters, which is just delicious. And then we're going to do a BSB orange spice, and there's going to be some apple cider, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of orange juice, and it's just going to be, it's going to be diamond. So two that really kind of reflect the weather that we're having right now, and then the one that just is just great year-round is pineapple upside-down cake cocktail with BSB.
This really is, like, for me, this is the season.
Yeah.
Whether you're sitting by your fireplace or a fire pit, I mean, this is just the time to be sipping on something.
Absolutely, and this goes great by itself. I've had people say, wow, this would be a great hot toddy, which is just perfect for this time of the year. So you're absolutely right.
So I'm a big matcher. As you know, I'm a big wine guy. What do you match bourbon with typically?
That's a great thing. So normally I think some beef would be something what people would focus on. But I would have to tell you, there is a restaurant down at the lake of the Ozarks called, I think it's Out of the Water. I'm getting the name wrong, sorry. But they did a bourbon glaze on salmon this past summer, which was just dynamite. I've had a bakery restaurant do pecan bars and use brown sugar bourbon with pecan bars. So it goes well inside food, on food, of course, and in a glass for you.
Jim brought in a bunch of food. Jim brought in a bunch of the BSB, and he brought in these little cute little travel size, and he's like, I gave a couple of these bottles to the young man outside. I'm like, oh god, that's all I need is a drunk Taliban. He's fairly useless sober. So Tracy, what can you add? What else we need to know?
I think it'll be great tomorrow. We're excited, have lots of wings, lots of brown sugar bourbon, and it'll be a fun time.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to have. Typically, we'll have t-shirts and beanies and things like that, and they have some little dice game you play to win them, or you have to wrestle me or something like that. So I will be there early, because I'm early to everything. So if you'd like to come out and just... And here's what's great about these things. Typically, when we do remotes, I'm either on stage or I'm very busy, and at this, I'm just at happy hour. So today is our 19th anniversary of our show.
Congratulations.
And so if you would like to come out tomorrow and just talk about old times and take some pictures and get a t-shirt, I will be at the Cybergs, Mid Rivers, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Connor, where, if off the top of your head, if you can rattle them, the other six?
So there are original ones on Gravois, down in Afton, then Market Street, which is right up the street on Market under the pear tree. Then after that, Helen's is at the cross section of Lindbergh and Watson. After that is Cybergs on Dorset off Dorset Road and 270. Chesterfield is in the Valley. Then O'Fallon, Illinois is on Fairview. Then after that, we have Arnold down off 141 and 55. Twisted Tree off Caddy Corner to Helen's, right at Lindbergh and Watson, and then the Mid Rivers one.
I really have to compliment you, because being in this business 19 years and playing in my band for 18 years, I can't tell you how many restaurants, bars, nightclubs I've seen come and go. And you guys, I mean, Helen's is as cool now as it was when I first started. That's almost impossible to do. Like, that's kind of the equivalent of celebrating 19 years as a radio show. That's impossible. And the fact that you guys have been such a successful franchise for as long as you have, like, you guys deserve all of the credit in the world. So
thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Dave, woo-hoo. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Cool. So hopefully we'll see a lot of you out there tomorrow night. By the way, they just let me know that everyone who comes out and mentions the show gets a free cocktail.
Very nice.
Yeah. I don't think you can just mention it 13 times, get 13 cocktails, but that's pretty cool.
It's really cool. Earlier today, I had some of the cocktail recipe that they had given us, and I brought one to Ryan Wiggins on the Annie Fry Show, and he loved it. He said all it was missing is a little milk, so.
Oh, God. I haven't been grossed out by Wiggins and milk in a long time.
Well, glad I could
end
that
streak. Not even a true statement, so.
A little horchata in his vodka.
You got stuff? You're staring at a notebook.
I do. I have some stuff here. All so right. I don't even know where to start. A little bit of news today. Maybe not everyone has heard, but they reached a tentative deal in the GM strike.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a done deal yet, but hopefully this strike that was originally supposed to, everybody said, would be done in a week, has gone on for a month, and hopefully that'll finally be put to rest. So they haven't released the details yet of the agreement, but apparently it's something that both sides have agreed upon. So hopefully that'll be over with.
We'll I started laughing the other day, and both of you know how tough of a laugh I am. It's very hard to get me to laugh out loud. And I was by myself, and I thought of your story about going on strike with Schnooks, and then I thought of the SpongeBob episode where he and Squidward go on strike, and I started laughing out loud, thinking about you in this room full of grown-ups, and you're like Norma Rae, rabble-rouser.
Strike! 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 Strike!
Then you're like, what does this mean?
No! Not enough! We need more!
16-year-old Tony Colombo at the bargaining table.
SpongeBob has the whole thing memorized from Squidward, like, we will tear down the walls of our oppressor.
It's one of my favorites.
Burns down the Krusty Krab.
One of my favorites with my kids, when he's like, Squidward's thinking about that the strike goes on forever and they're old men with the beards.
Yes.
He's like, Squidward.
Hey, Squidward.
Hey, Squidward.
It repeats it over and over.
Hey, Squidward.
Hey, Squidward. Hey, Squidward.
Yesterday.
And he signs the deal with
Taliban came in.
Crabs.
And he goes, I have to talk to you about something. I'm like, oh, God. Like,
here we go.
Here we go. And he said, all day, I've been hearing this in my head. Ravioli, ravioli, give to me the formuoli. He's like, I have to know what it is. So I did the whole thing for him. But he really seemed to be suffering with it.
He'd been stuck in his head.
He'd been stuck
in
his
OCD.
Head. He's like, I can only hear it in your voice.
That's funny.
SpongeBob makes everything better. Speaking of Andrew, we were out there earlier watching just dumb videos, and there's this Squidward mascot that was in a parade, and people keep shouting at him from the crowd, like, Squidward, do the whoa, and he'll be like damn, Squidward, and he does it, and we were just laughing so hard because it's so funny. I don't know, it just elevates everything. Every meme is elevated by SpongeBob.
Yeah.
You could communicate effectively through only SpongeBob memes.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will always maintain that Squidward is one of the protagonists.
He's the hero.
And
he's the adult.
And Patrick is the villain of
100%.
The piece.
Squidward just wants to live his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
always does what's right in the end.
Yeah.
He may be, you know, he may play tricks or be
insulted,
but when push comes to shove, he'll always back up SpongeBob. He'll always stick up for him, like in the pizza episode. Whereas Patrick will take advantage of
leave you hanging.
Yeah, and leave him hanging, and yeah.
The one where they're co-parenting the scallop is just unwatchable for me.
Yes.
I just get so mad at Patrick.
Absolutely.
Time!
Everything. Everyone that's Patrick-centric, every episode that is, I can't watch it. Drives me crazy. Mike Parson announced that Missouri will not ban e-cigarettes. Some pressure had been put on the governor to issue a statewide ban on vaping and, you know, with all the illnesses that have been breaking out. But he does want to launch a statewide public campaign to teach people about the dangers of vaping and e-cigarettes. I'm not sure that this isn't the right way to go. I'm not ready to say that they should just be outright banned because that's just a slippery slope for me, because you can prove there's an awful lot of deadly characteristics to other tobacco products and cigarettes and alcohol. And so I'm not sure that I'm convinced that an outright ban is the right thing to do. But obviously some controversy surrounding this. What do you think?
Yeah. To me, it's more like, this is more akin to me of like an E. coli breakout in broccoli. That there's something going on that's making people sick very quickly, and some of them are dying.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that broccoli's bad. It means it's got poop in it. And same thing with this, that I don't think anyone thinks that sucking something into your lungs and blowing it out is ever a good thing for you, but
other than air.
But it just, I'm kind of with you.
You know, I've seen a lot of vapers online say that these stories are fake news because a lot of the people who are getting sick have actually been buying like THC cartridges that aren't regulated in any way. So they're basically buying weed and vaping it, and they're getting infections from that. I don't know. You don't see that in the news stories. So they don't specify whether or not they bought it from a gas station or if they bought it from a guy down the block. So.
Gotcha. Hey guys, welcome back. So as promised, this is officially our 19th anniversary. So when I sign off the air here, we are officially in our 20th year. That's pretty cool. And so we thought we would bring you a couple of the classics, most requested from the Best Of CD back in 2008. So here you go. Enjoy. Thanks for the last 19 years. Gay Lincoln, the most requested bit we've ever done. This is so funny because we didn't mean it to be funny. We had a guy on, I believe, President's Day, who had a theory that Abraham Lincoln was gay. Great. I treated this as if it were a historical segment, and I tried to play it straight, but as you will hear, the things the guy was saying, and the more importantly, the way he was saying them, he evidently had some sort of a train whistle lodged in his esophagus, and it just led to possibly the funniest thing we've ever done on the show.
Doug Ireland, he wrote an article for the LA Weekly, was Abe Lincoln gay? He's our guest here today. Any of you out there who have any information on this, you have any thoughts on this, whether it matters at all, you know, it changes your mind about the gentleman or not, 314-969-9797, 866-455-9797. Doug, thanks for being here today.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon.
So, Doug, when did you first hear about this, and what were your first reactions to it?
Well, the notion that Abe Lincoln was gay, was a lover of men, is not a new idea. There have been a number of writers and historians previously who had written about Abe Lincoln's relationship with Joshua Speed, a young storekeeper with whom he shared a bed for 4 long years when he was a younger man. But the value of C.A. Tripp's book, The Intimate World of Abraham Lincoln, which was recently published to some extensive media attention, is that Tripp, who spent 10 years working on this book, has identified half a dozen other men with whom Lincoln shared beds for a number of years, including while he was president. Abraham Lincoln is the icon of the Republican Party.
Yes.
He was the first Republican president. And if Abraham Lincoln was, in fact, gay, as I think Dr. Tripp's book rather conclusively demonstrates that he was, that really is one in the eye for President Bush and all of the other homo haters in the Republican Party who have been gay bashing for electoral purposes in order to win elections.
Thank you, Doug. Very fascinating stuff. We appreciate you being here today.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Oh, God.
I am so proud of you.
Oh, my God.
I am so proud of you.
And thanks to all you jackasses out there making it even harder calling in with, I heard Lincoln came in the
guys.
Back door.
Oh.
I'm trying to hold it together here.
What, love?
I
don't.
The hell was...
I apologize, because when I spoke to him, he wasn't doing all the...
I think you'll find that he had quite a relationship with one Richard Handler, also known to frequent the company of Marcus Brown Eye.
Glover, I get it.
Thanks, man.
Dude, you got to do the play interview. Tom, be Glover. Glover, be the guest. It's
you
hilarious.
Got it. You got it, man.
Hey, interview me, Tom. I'll
it's 5:26. This is the Dave Glover Show. I'm Dave Glover, and today we're speaking to, sir, we're speaking to a gentleman that wrote an article on Mr. C.A. Tripp. Donald, how are you doing today, sir?
Tom.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something about the old rail splitter, Tom.
Yes, sir. What's that sound?
Many remember the great debate in Alton, Illinois, when the great giant man from Springfield reached around his opponent, honking his testicles like a clown's horn.
Thank you, sir.
Known by many in New Salem as the Mangina. Lincoln had been shot in the balcony of the Ford Theater many times before. John Wilkes Booth. But always in the back of the head.
Bigfoot, the all-time classic to me, wherein Dr. Lynch on Paranormal Tuesdays, who cannot be pinned down for any reason, you listen to the logic employed here, that basically Patterson faked the famous Bigfoot Patterson film, came back because he forgot his igloo cooler, and oh my God, the real Bigfoot is here. Total classic. Up, Lynch?
Oh, not much. Just another hot day in St. Louis.
So did you hear me talking about the Patterson film deal?
Patterson film.
Yeah. Good. You're familiar with the Patterson film?
Yeah, both sides.
Or not true? Hoax or real?
I think it's real.
Get out!
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that Bigfoot doesn't exist. I'm just saying Patterson faked it. The evidence is overwhelming that Patterson faked it. And now you're even saying, sure, he faked one, but then he went back because he dropped his watch. And when he got there, oh, God, it's a real Bigfoot.
Because
what are the chances of that?
There's two reasons here. There's just two things here.
One being you're crazy and won't admit when you're wrong. What's
absolutely
the other?
And I took my rental this morning. You may not have. But anyway, the other one is that look at the horses, the way the horses react during the actual film. Okay.
With or without breasts.
We all know that an authentic Bigfoot would stink all to high heaven. And the first thing we react would be a horse, because a horse will react to rattlesnakes. A horse will react to things that it is unaware of, and especially rattlesnakes. I've seen professionally trained horses go crazy when they get around a rattlesnake.
So you're saying that a horse would not react to a man in a Bigfoot costume?
Exactly. He would just walk up. Because why? The horses were there when he put it on.
So the horses know.
They would have known. And, okay, in the Patterson film, in the very first few seconds, Patterson is trying to stay on the horse because it's bucking.
Maybe.
The film is going. It's bucking. And then he falls off, grabs his camera, and starts shooting. And you'll notice when he's shooting, these horses run off. Now, his partner, who has never testified or never agreed to go under anything, had a pack mule with him. The pack mule was bucking and kicking and snorting and going all this crazy stuff, as pack mules would do if it came across an object of threat.
Look, I've never made a movie in my life, but I guarantee you that I could get up on a horse with a handheld 8mm whatever, go, oh God, no, jump around, slap the horses on the butt, make them run away. Okay. I guarantee you I could do
that. The other question is, where did Patterson get the money to buy the suit?
Well, who knows?
That's the question.
It can't be that expensive to buy a suit.
The guy who's supposed to have made the suit worked with Lost in Space and all these television episodes and all this other stuff. He didn't work for free.
Okay,
Patterson didn't go, hey, I'll give you $2,000 or $3,000 to make me a full body latex suit.
Are you denying that he bought it from the guy? Because the guy says, yes, Patterson. I know exactly who he is. We talked many times.
Then who paid him? Who paid the guy to make the suit?
That it
sure wasn't Patterson.
Bigfoot who picked up the bill?
I have no idea.
See,
and why didn't this guy come out forward hoax?
Make him stop. Okay. Your logic, though, is fallacious, because you're saying, yes, the guy says, I sold a gorilla suit to Patterson for the express purpose from Patterson of making a Bigfoot film. But now you're saying, where did he get the money? What does it matter where he got the money? He did get the money, or the guy gave it to him. The most important part of that isn't where the dude got the money. Maybe he was doing, you know, HJs on the corner. The bottom line is, he procured a gorilla suit.
That's the salient point here.
Yeah, he sure did. But the guy who's supposed to be wearing the suit did not claim that the suit that he wore had breasts on it.
Dude!
Back to breasts.
Look, I'm telling you.
I'm talking about two things here. I'm talking about...
I know how many breasts there are.
I'm talking about, okay, I can go down and I can rent...
Seriously?
...a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how many gorilla suits I can rent that have breasts on them.
I could add... Here's what you do. You get some black fur and a couple of coconuts, and you sew them on. Come on, you're a doctor. This isn't rocket science.
I'm telling you.
You get a couple of cantaloupes, and you paint them black, for the love of God.
Okay, and the other question is...
What do you think Lola Falana did all those
years? The other situation is that no one has been able to reproduce that film in its entirety, in its exact duplication. If we made one gorilla suit, if this expert made one gorilla suit that was actually seen in Lost in Space and on Star Trek, then why can't we make another gorilla suit, use that guy, pull him out of the nursing home or whatever, give him the $1,000, I'll take it down to Hollywood tomorrow and say, this is how the Patterson film was shot.
But Doc,
we recreated this entire thing and did it right
here. It's Occam's razor. You know, that's what it is. You are looking past the obvious, which is they faked it. And
yeah. No, I didn't say they didn't fake it. I'm saying
you're still
two
going
incidents.
With the two things
there's
happened.
Two incidences.
Right. He faked it, and then he just happened to come back because he forgot his car keys, and I'll be damned if the bountiful, boobiful Yeti isn't here waiting for me. Sweet irony.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.